Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. 10:24 on a Thursday. It's Shane and it's Bruce and it's Jad here on Sports Daily on your station for sports, KFH. And we're very happy starting on Monday to be continuing with some great historic audio. And this has to do with the 1989 College World Series run featuring Wichita State, of course. And we'll rebroadcast those five wins that they had in 1989 starting on the 1st at 6 o'clock right after the drive with Bob and Jeff. Hopefully you'll tune in, check out the games. I know a lot of you jonesing for college baseball will. And we will also podcast the games in the KFH historical audio section on the KFHradio.com website in case you missed it or miss it coming up starting next week. Speaking of the Shockers, we go to the KFH hotline, talk to Taylor Eldridge. Taylor, how old were you in 1989? Like one or two? Was that about when you were born?
That was exactly when I was born, yeah, March 2nd.
God, I was kidding, but that's true. Okay, so welcome back to the show. We're glad to have you. The basketball tournament within the last 24 hours is kind of beginning to boil a little bit. I speculated on air without having any idea about 25 hours ago that Wichita might possibly be in the running, but they actually might still be in the running to host TBT, right? Tell us what you know.
Yeah, that's why you're such a great thought leader, Shane.
Thanks.
They are one of the few sites that the TBT is still considering to do this one host. You know, they're cutting down from 64 teams to 8 sites, down to 24 teams playing all at one site. And, you know, the logistics is going to be interesting because, you know, obviously the big pull, the big sell for Wichita was the fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because, they had the record-shattering attendance last summer, and they made a huge impression with TBT. But so with possibly no fans in the stands, it's still pretty interesting to see that Wichita still has, you know, a very good reputation. I think TBT was impressed with how good WSU and Aftershocks were to work with last summer, and I think Brad Pittman at Wichita State did an excellent job hosting that from Wichita State's end. And I think talking to CBT, they had nothing but good things to say about the people at Wichita State and Wichita and the Aftershocks. So I think this is just a credit to what happened last summer. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously stuff is opening up right now, but this is, you know, the end of May. You know, what's it going to look like 2 months from now and the end of July? That's going to be, the big question mark. They did leave it open to say they could potentially have fans in the stands if they could meet, you know, local guidelines for whatever, whoever they pick for the host site. Mm-hmm. They could still follow local guidelines. You know, there's still a chance for fans in the stands, but obviously the plan right now tentatively would be no fans. And then for the they came out with a very extensive, you know, quarantine plan on what they wanted the teams and the players and the coaches to do once they arrived at the host site. And I was told yesterday from someone at WSU that, you know, the plan is if 24 teams come to Wichita, they would all stay on campus in the dorms. So it's not like they're, you know, going out into the community, going to different hotels, you know, the east side, the west side. They're all going to be on Wichita State's campus. So that's the plan as far as I know. And they're one of the very few to still be in the running. So I think, like I said, I think it's just that good relationship that they built last summer.
Yep.
Taylor, give us a little sense for what you expect the roster for the Aftershocks to look like. Pretty similar to last summer. Any notable additions? Anything percolating along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of the same guys back. You know, you can add Terrae Murray. He was back, but he got hurt, you know, in training camp last summer, so it didn't get a play. So he was really, really pumped out, and he was very motivated to come back this summer. And you know, some of those guys, you know, they saw the injury to Perry Ellis last summer, you know, got a little freaked out. And you know, all these guys are you know, pro players. You know, they depend on that money they make, you know, outside of TBT. So, you know, that kind of planted the seed in some of their minds. I don't know if, you know, all those guys will be back, but as far as I know, they had a lot of the same names back. You add Terrae Murray, you add Tekel Cotton, who also was injured last training camp and didn't play. So those are the two big ones that would have played this summer. I mean, I think it's still up in the air. As far as I know, they're still in, but I don't know with, you know, since the pandemic hit, I don't know how much that has changed things for players. You know, obviously the big name that everybody wants to see play is, you know, Ron Baker. That's the big name, and now that he's back in the States, I think that is, you know, a possibility. I think that they're definitely exploring that, but, you know, it's going to be up to Ron, you know, what he wants to do, if that's going to end up. As far as I know, you know, nothing has been, you know, finalized or even close to being finalized. So, but I just know that's the name, you know, whenever I talk to fans, you know, is Ron playing? That's the big one. But that would be kind of a bummer if the first time he comes back to Coke Arena, the fans can't be in it for it. But I think down the road that could be something that might happen with the Aftershocks.
I'm talking to Taylor Eldridge, talking TBT, all things Wichita State. He's the beat reporter for Wichita State for Kansas.com. As far as you know, Taylor, let's say assuming all the medical hurdles are negotiated as far as the safety is concerned, is there a price tag that Wichita State would like to see met? In other words, a dollar figure that they're guaranteed in order to host if they're the final choice?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. That's kind of what I was interested in. Yesterday, I was like, okay, so you assume no fans in the stands, so no gate. So what's kind of the motivation there for Wichita State? And what I was told was, you know, obviously the great exposure. You know, you would get, you know, 10 straight days of a WooShock being on ESPN when, you know, not a lot of sports are going on. So everybody, or you know, I think it would be safe to say a large amount of people, way more than normal, would be tuned in to watch this. So I think it would be great exposure for Wichita State. And then obviously, you know, it's not a huge bump to the economy, but you do get, you know, a handful of teams coming in. You know, they're going to have to order food from restaurants, take out, all that stuff. And then, you know, I think Coke Arena, you know, they rent that out. You know, they're going to make TBT rent out the dorms if it happens. So I think that's kind of the motivation for Wichita State. I'm not sure on the specifics on, you know, how this all is going to work. And I think a lot of it's just going to depend on, you know, how flexible, you know, the host site is. And I think Wichita State has a great setup. You know, that the big question I had was, you know, where are these teams going to stay? You know, are you going to send them to the east side, downtown, west side, stay at hotels, or what are you going to do? But, you know, keeping them all in dorms, keeping them in quarantine, that makes sense to me. So I think Wichita State has a great chance of winning this bid. And, you know, there's a very good chance that TBT will bring those 24 teams in late July. And it'll be the big question is also the $2 million prize, because, you know, obviously they're not going to be playing a full tournament. And so I asked them yesterday, and TBT said they couldn't confirm that it's going to be $2 million prize, but they did say there will be a winner-take-all prize at the end. They just don't know if it's going to be $2 million this year.
I guess one of the big questions as we turn to the Wichita State program itself was the five spot, and they've had players return that they maybe weren't expecting to. And you did a nice piece at Kansas.com on the Bilal kid. Tell us a little bit about why this young man, this redshirt freshman, is creating so much of a stir amongst Shocker coaches.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of a sleeping giant because he came to Wichita State. I always remember the his recruiting visit because, you know, you think back to back when his recruiting happened, that was right when Teddy Allen got kicked off the team. And, you know, it's like middle of June, super late in the recruiting process. And it's like, how is Wichita State going to fill this final scholarship? You know, there's just not a lot of, you know, high school kids out there that are still available to sign that are worth, you know, or capable of playing at the level that Wichita State wants them to play. So I thought it was just going to be a sunk scholarship. And then all of a sudden they swoop in and find this kid, and they were on him before that. It's just they didn't have a scholarship. So somehow he flew under the radar. He didn't play a lot at his prep school his last year, and he was still available in the end of June. And I remember they brought him in and had him play pickup, and he dominated. And you think back to, you know, this is last year's team, and, you know, he was from everyone. I mean, I talked to multiple players or multiple people that were there that saw it, and Joseph F. Flau was the best player on the floor on his recruiting trip here. So he is a very, very high ceiling kid. Super raw, though. I mean, just started playing basketball, I think, 6 years ago. Came to the States in 2017, 2018, and now just hasn't played a lot of high-level basketball. Like I said, he was a bench player on his prep team. It was, like, one of the top teams in the country. He had, like, LaMelo Ball on his team and two other five-star kids. I mean, he didn't really get to play a lot. And also, he didn't play a lot in the summer circuit either. So he kind of flew under the radar. But when coaches see this guy practice, you know, there's no doubt that the potential is there. And he got a ton of, you know, high major offers last summer. So this is a big, big recruiting victory for Wichita State to be able to get a kid with the potential of Joseph F. Blau. And he came to WSU, got banged up, and that's basically why he redshirted, was because he got hurt. You know, Coach Marshall said multiple times that he could have helped the team last year for sure. There's no question about it, but they just didn't feel like it was worth blowing that red shirt, you know, halfway through the season once he got healthy. And then I talked to the players, you know, once he got healthy halfway through the year on scout team, this guy's doing crazy, you know, he's blocking shots with his elbow. He's, you know, making insane passes for a 6'10 guy. You know, he's shooting threes. He can dribble it. So, you know, the comparison that I've been told is kind of like a Draymond Green, more Michigan State style, less so. You know, Blau's not going to be up top, you know, creating things, running the offense for Wichita State. But, you know, in terms of just that playmaking for a big guy, just is the way that he sees the floor, great rebounder, great defender, you know, has some potential on offense. So, yeah, I mean, his potential is very high, but like I said, he's very raw. So I think it's going to take a little time for him to adjust to the level of, you know, playing at the American on a night-in, night-out basis. But I also think that, you know, there are going to be flashes next year where people are going to be like, wow, like, who is this kid? Because I think he can do things that no other, you know, post player Greg Marshall has recruited will be able to do and, you know, give him – 2-3 years, you know, it's pretty scary to think of, you know, the work ethic continues, he continues to grow, you know, how good can this guy be? It's pretty scary to think about.
Yeah, if you're not privy to practices or you don't show up at the arena on game days an hour and a half before the game, you don't even see this guy. Excuse me. And you and I were kicking around the comps yesterday. How about for Joseph F. Blau, how about a taller Pascal Siakam? How's that grab you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, very versatile. You know, Siakam added, you know, really improved his handles, especially this last year. I think that's a good comparison. But I think in Greg Marshall's system, I don't think that, you know, Blau is gonna, you know, like I said, he's not gonna be up the top of the key, you know, breaking down defenders, you know, running the offense I think he's going to be, especially next season, at least for this year, you know, he's going to be constrained to either the four or the five just because of need. Because, you know, WSU, they have a ton of wings now, but they don't have a ton of, you know, fours and fives. So I think he's going to have to fill that need. And I asked him, when I talked to him, I said, what position do you consider yourself? And I was like thinking that, you know, to exploit him the most, he's probably the biggest matchup problem at five. So I was expecting him to say a five, but he said four. But actually, I think I'm more of a three. So it was like a 6'10", 230 guy who thinks he's a small forward. And from everything I've been told, you know, that's not that far-fetched because he can dribble, pass, shoot. He can play like a wing, but obviously, you know, in that body, that big frame, he's going to have way more use to WSU at the four and the five.
Taylor Eldridge joining us, talking Shocker basketball. All right, there was a call in the last segment about when the players might be back. Give us a pre-COVID timeline of the summertime when the men's basketball players were back on campus versus this year. Is it the same, different? How's that work out? When do you expect the entire squad to be back on campus?
Yeah, I mean, so far, it's the same. It's a little different because, you know, some guys do come back to Wichita earlier and just, you know, they use Coke Arena to work out. They use the weight room, use the floor to shoot around. And I know Bilal is back in Wichita. I'm not sure if any of the other ones are in Wichita, though. I think everybody else is kind of, you know, still at home or dispersed throughout the country. So that's a little different where I think, you know, if this wasn't COVID, you know, I think you would see a few more players that are already back to work on their games. But I know Dexter Dennis came back briefly. You know, he was working with Jaime Echenique at Wichita State, and Blau was obviously here. So, you know, I think that's pre-COVID, you would see a few players start to trickle in at this time. And then everybody kind of, I think early July is basically when the team starts to get together for the first time and starts to practice. There's a little more allotted time in the summer now for coaches to work with. So July is kind of the time that things start to, you know, kick off in a team aspect, and that still could be the case. But, you know, right now there's no direction in terms of, you know, what the NCAA says. You know, obviously with the restrictions being eased up here locally, that's promising, but obviously this is just, you know, late May. You know, what's it going to look like a month from now, you know, as July approaches? And that's going to be the big question. So from what I've been told is that, you know, WSU, they're just still waiting on word from the NCAA on, hey, when can we have, you know, team activities? When can we bring these guys back to practice? And I know some people might have seen that they're opening stuff up June 1st. That's just, you know, volunteer stuff where, you know, if kids are in the area and they want to go to Coke Arena, they can go back and use the courts and that stuff. So that's not team activities. You know, the coaches can't even talk to them like when they're on the court or anything. So that's just to have guys come shoot around. But in terms of when they can do team activities, that's the big domino that the basketball teams are still waiting to hear from. So that's kind of where they're at right now. Usually it's July. Who knows what it'll be this summer, though.
Perfect. Good stuff as always. Thanks, Taylor, for jumping on with us. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Taylor.
All right.
All right, Taylor Eldridge from Kansas.com, talking Shockers, TBT, and the like. All right, when we come back, we need to get to On This Day in Sports History. It's brought to you by your rental equipment headquarters at 21st and Ridge. It's Superior Rents. It's May 28th. We had two teams from New York move to California on this day. And we also had a new home run king crowned on this day as well. We'll dive into it thanks to Superior Rents when we come back.